We are back with another recap episode for you during Sunday brunch. This is Brunch with the Hollowells with Ryan and Rob. Ryan, how are you today?
Hello, Rob. Hello, Charmies. I'm doing wonderful on our beautiful Sunday brunch today. And I'm so excited to talk this episode of Charmed.
Yeah, we are going to do episode 18 of season 7. This is Little Box of Horrors. What did you think about this episode this week?
You know, this episode always, I always think of it in season 7, but I never realize it's always this late. It's after everything, but I like the villain. I like the throwback to the earlier plots. So I like it for what it was. Simpler than an Avatar or a Zanku.
Yeah, so once again, we have a villain who, with the absence of Zanku, we have another villain trying to do something to either outsmart him, dethrone him, or impress him. And again, these are more reminders that Zanku is the ish. Like, he clearly lives up to the name. He got released. Deal with it. You either beat him or join him. And we get this week a villain who wants to join him. So even when he's absent, he's still there. And I didn't remember the correlation between these two villains so far. We've had this guy and the sorcerer, or this gal and the sorcerer from before, trying to do something because Zanku is here. So I thought
it really
that was
makes a, it cool, right? It makes
yeah, it's a nice connection.
Like that. Yeah, I like that myself.
This episode is okay for me, but I love this villain. Katya is so fucking cool. She is so cool. I just love everything about her. Spoiler alert, she went on my hot female list and she's up there. She could win this. She was at that stomach. Can you believe?
My God, those Janet Jackson abs that Janet used to show them off all the time. Like, whoo.
My goodness, just that opening scene. But anyways, we're going to get to the recap. Let's go through our list, though. What is that play of the week for you?
Katya, I think, glamoring or masquerading as the guardian for as long as she did and kind of was believable enough that she didn't give it away like some of these people do with their eyes the first minute they get in the room.
Wait till we get to the recap, because I'm going to take you through the thought process I had watching this episode. You are absolutely right. That was a great play. Great play. However, I did not pick that one. Okay. Even though this is my play of the week, I can't, because I think, so it has to do with Paige. And I think she had two scenes, but one in particular, it was just this in a row use of her telekinesis. And okay. I want to say it was when she encountered with Hope first. I think. There was, I wish maybe you can fill in the blanks, but she either...
Was it with Darcy at the end when she...
No. I don't think it was when she shapeshifted, but it could be. I just remember that she moved something. Oh, yes.
Yeah.
It was with Darcy. I think it was the end. So, home. Yeah. Yeah. So she glamours. She throws the potion. She calls for Pandora's box.
Yep.
Then she hands it to Darcy. Then she goes home. And then she orbs out. Like, just that row of excellence was so freaking cool. Yeah, it was. I love that. I just love her when she did it. And I don't think I've ever seen her use her powers that much in a row. And it's usually metal thingy. And then that was it. We don't see it anymore. But it was like a row of stuff. And I really like that. So that was my
play.
Coming
off the elevator, too. So, yeah.
And she is my pick for MVP because of that whole elevator scene. I thought that was a really nice scene for her. And I actually enjoyed her B plot as well. The ringing in the ears, her irritation, you could definitely see it in her face. Her interactions with Sandra, like I just thought that she shined very well in this episode.
And for the reasons that Rob said, that is why Paige is my MVP this week. Coming from the elevator to the battle to even like just her going right to the glamour and just not even asking questions, just being able to figure it out on her own. Yes.
We did have some potentials in this episode. Ryan, did you add anyone to your hot man meter?
Anticlimactic, but no.
We did have a potential, but yeah, I didn't add anyone either, which is okay. We have a long list of men already. I wonder if we'll get any more before this season ends. Oh, I know we will, but I can't wait. Can't wait! Okay, let's just get to our episode. Let's recap this mother. Season 7, Episode 18, Little Shop of Horrors. The original air date was April 24th of 2005. This was written by Cameron Litvak.
And he's vanquished and he's going on the quiz.
Directed by John Parr. Guest stars include Brooke Nevin as Hope. We have Michelle Hurd as Katya. Haley Dumont as Nina. Shaney Pride as Darcy, with Don Swayze as Lucius. The mythological Pandora's box falls into the hands of a shape-shifting demon who wants to open the box and release all the wickedness it contains. The Charmed Ones must find the guardian who can return the released evil spirits to the box.
So a woman, Nina, with a small box in her hands, is attacked in an alley. Her attacker is a demon, Katya. They fight briefly, but we don't know the result of the battle. The box disappears. Paige is hearing ringing in her ears. Leo explains that it is possibly a call from the elders. Nina transports herself to the manor and tells Phoebe of Pandora's box. Cue the credits. She explains to Phoebe and Piper that Pandora's box has gone to its next guardian. Katya wants to open it. Doing so will release all the world's sorrows. I wrote, finally, a capable guardian, in the fact that one of these relics has a being that actually has some kind of defensive power, it seems, that actually could work if need be, as opposed to, oh, I have an amulet that if the amulet falls off, then I'm screwed.
I mean, fair enough. We lost a lot of good people because they weren't given powers. They were giving, you know, like mediocre objects to protect them. Guardians my ass. Like, I want powers like yours. Otherwise, you can get your own freaking angel beings and whatever to watch your shit. I don't blame you.
Nothing's worse than the kid in season 2 with that witch episode, which I, you know, that old black magic. I hate it. Die! Die! Oh. So Paige getting this assignment, Rob, so late in the series, so late in what possibly could be, say it, everyone, the last season. Yes, I will be saying it again. Are you okay with them giving her this without the healing power?
The moment she was able to heal her father, I thought she was going to be a white lighter from that day on. I did not think that it was going to wait until now. I mean, her witch and charm duties definitely come first, but I guess we're at a point in her life where she can start doing things on her own. And I think maybe this is when it's time for her to start doing white lighter stuff. Maybe she just wasn't ready or she didn't have time, but now she clearly has time. So let's now make her into a full-fledged one. But her first charge was her dad. I thought that she was a white lighter from then on, and I don't know why it stopped.
And I thought you're only a white lighter if you're able to heal, because then what's the whole point? Yes,
That's the thing, Ryan. You got to blame it on Patty and her fast-ass ways. You know, like, she's the one who got pregnant and birthed something that was never supposed to be. So they had to change the rules a little bit.
I guess you're right. I guess you're right. Poor Patty. So.
And it's not just her fault. I mean, we got homewrecker freaking, what's his name?
Sam
coming in. You only had one job, and it was not to do the mom. So what the deuce? But that's a different discussion.
I love it, though. It's so true. Just to echo Rob's point earlier, our demon of the week is really cool. She just has an air about her, too, that's different than the demons that we normally get. She's more cool. I feel like confident.
She's so cocky.
Yeah,
and
it's just great, though.
She's so cocky. She's got this smile that literally looks so angelic. Yeah. She's not even that evil. Look, it's just
no.
She's
she
just
does.
So
yeah,
cool
her smile
about
is
it.
Beautiful. Yeah, she has a beautiful smile that looks angelic. I could totally see it.
Yeah, I'm just glad they didn't like give her sunglasses or some stupid shit like that. Like they just let her be her, and I just. The woman was unapologetic. She did the poses. You know what? She would have made a wonderful cheetah.
Oh, yeah. This actress is fantastic.
Yeah,
I don't know who
she's
really,
she shows up in a lot of stuff on TV. She's a great TV actress. I love her. Everybody look her up. She's phenomenal. Yeah.
Oh, my
that
God. Stomach I
Woods
wonder.
Tight.
Do you think that was part of like the whole casting thing, or they saw that on her and they're like, we got to use this. we got to show these off.
I mean, who knows? I mean, as each season goes on, they were supposed to make all these demons hotter and hotter as they went along. Yeah. I don't know if it was part of the casting call, but it just worked in their favor that she got to look the way she did and flaunted while being a demon. I mean, that's the other thing too. It's like, while Phoebe and sometimes the other girls were seen in very like less clothing or sexual of that nature, the charm ones, in my opinion, were very a figure of the average woman. And I'm not saying that these women are average, but you know, like they wore normal clothes. They didn't wear clothes that went with witches.
Well,
or
unless
they didn't
you're
wear
Phoebe,
clothes
then you wear some crazy ass denim skirts as a top. And
yeah, but I mean. These women just wore clothes that were comfortable and they look sexy doing them. Demons basically are just, they don't give a shit, you know, like they're brought on by sex and temptation and being provocative, all of those like quote unquote negative things. And so that's what demons are supposed to do. She did exactly. She knew the assignment. Like think of what's her face? The other shape shifting one who was like obsessing over Cole. What was it? Sia?
Oh my God, the one with the accent.
Yeah,
she was
I forget
like southern
her name.
Accent.
But yeah, I mean, she it was the same thing. She did not care. That's why I liked her this
was
time
Kia?
Around. Kia, exactly. That's why I liked her this time around is because she was a demon that was unapologetic about who she was, and she dressed the way she did. She twirled her hair. She played this dumb thing, but she was smart as shit. Like she knew what she was doing, and so does Katya. So like hell yeah.
So I'll let you go into this because I want to be walked through, as you stated earlier, your whole process with this. But I'm just going to say this one line that gave it away for me was, I guess I was inspected to survive. I was like, ding, 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 ding. You weren't. I knew you weren't.
So, okay. Yeah. I'll let you know how. Okay. So first of all, we get another Allie. Right off the bat, we get another Allie. And it's funny because there are two garbage cans that specifically say apartment 1 through 4 and apartment 5 through 10. First of all, you do not have one garbage can to represent 4 apartments. That is impossible. So that right there was weird. But also, what kind of alleyway looks like that? And that is in the back of an apartment building.
Right.
That is not... Right. Cool at all. That is not cool. An alley that sketchy would not be the backside of an apartment.
I wouldn't want to ever throw out the garbage. I'd be throwing it right from the window. I'd be like, trying to get it into the garbage can.
That was a very active, full alleyway for in a back of an apartment. And again, why are the garbage cans there? It's just a weird concept that I noticed. I don't know why, but that's some sketchy shit to have in the back of your building. So... Also, when Nina and Katya are fighting and you've got that overhead view and they kind of do this levitation thing, didn't Katya's stunt double look like a white woman?
I think she was. Yeah.
I think she was straight up a white woman.
I should have looked the abs over, though, too.
I know. Man, that body is everything. Giving me Melina realness with size. Loved it. I loved it. Here's the thing. When I used to crush on women back in the day, Nina was like my literal type. She is the Joey, Katie Holmes, like Faith, like the brunette, Faith, the average girl.
Faith, yes.
The average girl. I thought Nina was so cute in this episode. I just like her look.
I actually
a little tomboyish. I just like all of that. I like women like Nina. I just don't know. I just always fell for that girl back in the day.
I mean, first off, I love that. I really wish, I mean, just hearing you say this all again, I really wish she could have been the female Zanku of this season, because she's like, she just stood out in this whole episode as like a highlighter to me, I think. So for a villain of a week to do that, it's nice to have.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And we also get the line in every generation with the Guardian. I don't know if they did that on purpose, but why not, right?
It seems like a nice homage. Or
what's also in the scene that's not written down is that we establish that Wyatt is now in his terrible twos, even though his birthday must pass, and I completely just did notice it. Because remember how we were debating about when he said his first word and all this stuff, and he hasn't spoken yet. Apparently he had a birthday, and I just don't remember it. I'm trying to remember when his birthday was. Charmy's helped me out. Let me know when his birthday was. I forgot the episode it was on, but he had a birthday, let alone two, and there you have it. But we are now in terrible twos now, and Phoebe says the line, boys will be magical boys, or magical boys will be magical boys.
Magical boys.
This term is super outdated. What do you think about the term boys will be boys?
Yeah, it's one of those ones that have just, you know, it's always been around, and then you don't hear it. Like you said, you really don't hear it anymore. So when you go back into an episode, you know, from the 2000s and you hear it, yeah, it's just so funny to hear how things have changed and how the an identity of a man or a woman and everything has changed since then. And this is 2005 at the time. So it's great, though, that we're in a different place that we are now.
Yeah, the term boys will be boys is usually given to give boys, let alone men, excuses to do whatever they want without consequence.
Oh yeah, and, of course.
I mean, terrible twos, I think, are in equal conjunction with little girls. So I'm thinking it goes hand in hand, but at the same time, oh, it's natural for boys to be monsters when they're 2 years old, where girls are given more of a responsibility to be more mature and dignified. And
Angelica, I know, a rugrat. That says otherwise.
Yes. So, yeah, the term definitely is outdated and old-fashioned and whatever. So, yeah, I just wanted to kind of point that out. I don't remember anything about my twos, if I was terrible or not. It's whatever. But
you were an angel, I'm sure. Because you probably would have heard about it. You were a terrible two-year-old.
A college student, Hope, enters her dormitory room and finds the box on her bed. Not knowing where it came from, but curious about its contents, she opens it slightly. Okay, full-on honesty here. If I got a box on my bed and I didn't know where it was, I would open it.
Yeah.
I'm not going to blame Hope for this. I would totally open the box.
I mean, because you don't think it's going to be a Pandora's box if you're in your dorm room and you just find a box on your bed. Yeah, of course, anyone would open that. Be like, what is this on my bed?
A chorus of black mist escapes with a loud scream, and she closes the box again. An elder explains to Paige that she is hearing a global alert, a warning of a threat that they have not yet identified. Leo suggests that Paige help a future white lighter. So Piper scries and finds the box at UC Berkeley. Nina transports herself and Piper to Hope's room. They tell Hope about the box, but she is frightened, and Nina picks up the box and then morphs into Katya. Okay, So let me just take you through this whole thing. Now, at first, Nina and Katsu are fighting. They keep secret exactly what happened. But all we see is a bruised Nina at the house, and she's telling them about Pandora's box, right? She goes up to the book, and here's my notes. I wrote down, so Nina is frustrated with Piper. She's like, hurry up, lady. I've got a box to find. We can't be dealing with you and your fucking baby. Like, deal with your shit and let's do this. Did you see her? She was like huffing like, can we hurry? Like, I do not care about Wyatt and his terrible tooth. And Piper is just like, her and demon fighting now, she honestly could give two shits. It's this I'll do it if I can sort of thing with her sometimes. She is so funny. Like, anytime family comes into play, she is not thinking about no demons or innocence. But Nina was like, can we stay on focus right now? Because I'm tired of this. I don't want to be here anymore. So there's that. And then we find out it's Katya the whole time. The whole time? I mean, I forgot this. I forgot that it was her, but there were so many things that I found that was so out of place. First of all, Nina's teleportation.
Yeah.
That is a evil teleportation if I ever saw one.
I thought so too. Piper should know that. I thought it looked evil.
Let me look. So it's called Shredding. That is the name of her teleportation, Shredding. But I didn't think much about it. I'm like, she's a guardian. I don't know nothing about her. Maybe that's what they do.
That's right. Maybe she shreds. Maybe she shreds.
And the box decides to just disappear and go to the new guardian. Now, anybody will tell you that they cannot have two guardians at the same time in any form, except for the Slayer, but that's a different conversation. But it's like it sensed danger and left me and went to someone else. That is when I was like, this is horrible writing. This doesn't make sense. Still thinking that Nina is Nina. I swear to you, I forgot that she was Katya at this point.
Because she's so smart, she bruised herself up too, Katya. She really did it. And I could totally believe her playing this woman, Nina, because I could tell Nina probably had a dry personality like that.
Yeah.
So she probably did it. I mean, she was amazing.
I honestly should have known better, but the whole it could sense danger and left, I was like, this is bullshit. So here's the thing. If Nina died, then that's when it leaves. That's
right.
That's when it's supposed to leave. But I didn't think twice about it, right? And I just don't know why I didn't see it before. And Piper, with her, oh, crap. She's like, oh, really? I just love she's so casual with it. She's just like, oh, crap. She's just so seasoned. She's so seasoned.
Right, and at this point, she's like, my God.
It's just not even a thing anymore. She's just like, oh, you're evil. My goodness. Now, this is why I also think Katya is the shit, because she doesn't give two shits. She could have easily just left and not said a word. She did not have to expose herself. Everybody would think that everything's okay, but she had to gloat and be like, yep, I was Katya the whole, I was Nina the whole time. What of it? I fooled the charm ones. Like, she don't care. I love her. I love her for that. The last thing that I wrote here was Hope, who looked super, super familiar.
She looks like the girl, I wrote this down, from Pretty Little Liars that Holly Marie Combs is in, but it's not her.
It's not her. No.
That's why I'm like, it's Leigh. I'm like, is this the girl from Pretty Little Liars? No, but it wasn't.
So from what I gathered, she was in shows such as Goosebumps.
What?
And Are You Afraid of the Dark? The Tale of Bigfoot Ridge. And she was also one of the main stars of Animorphs.
Oh my God. There you go. Okay, that explains it then.
Yep.
Wow. Okay. So I take back, well, I'll say Pretty Little Liars too, but oh my God, those are so much better. That's so much better. I just want to say, I think it was this very episode in the office where Brad Kern was like, you know what? If we get picked up next season, I'm using this dorm And I'm using a young woman, aka someone who might name be start with B. But I think he got an idea for next season after this episode with this young guardian blonde girl. I'm just going to say that and see what happens next year. Sandra explains Pandora's box to Phoebe. It exists only to tempt, part of the grand design. If mankind wants to open it again and unleash the unspeakable horror on himself, then so be it. But the box is not to be opened by demons. Sandra further explains that the box will only move on to the next guardian if the current one died. And I'm here thinking, where has Sandra been this whole time leading into now? She seems to be so quick with this information. This is the elder that you needed the whole time. She's like, wait, the box don't leave unless the person's dead. This alerts Phoebe, and she quickly asks to be orbed to Piper and Hope. But Hope is scared and wants nothing to do with Phoebe and Piper.
So I'm actually glad that Sandra actually orbed her to the house, because she doesn't have to interfere, Amen. Right? And she Amen. Did anyway. I don't think I've ever really seen an elder be like, okay, I'll take you where you need to go. Like, she was a part of the mission today.
She is actually proactive. That's why I'm going to say yes. Sandra, got to give her credit. She was on Leo and Piper's side. Do you see how quickly she got rid of Leo, right? They did this whole thing. Leo's not a thing. Oh, but Paige. Oh, yep. Send her the call. We need a new one.
Yeah, I'm actually surprised they weren't assigned a new white lighter.
I'm surprised too, but I think at this point they know, like, oh, these women are never going to put up with another person. Let's not even risk it. The blue moon was the last of it.
So Paige is in an elevator with two men, a woman, and a small girl. The power fails and the elevator is stuck. She believes that her future white lighter is in the elevator. And let me tell you, so did I. I forgot all about this episode. I thought one of them was going to be a new white lighter.
The little girl.
No, I actually thought it was Trey. I called Trey the whole time because it was the least expected to be. So I thought it was going to be him. So while at the manor, Hope receives a call from her friend Darcy. Hope turns out to have telekinesis and flings Phoebe as she leaves.
Rob.
Yeah. So she reaches Darcy's room, but finds Katya there. Katya teleports Hope to her lair. Piper and Phoebe find Katya in some texts at magic school. The text reads that Katya is armed with her deadly sigh. The shapeshifter demon known as Katya has a long history of evil ambitions. Serving for centuries under various dark demonic lords of the underworld, she watched what she considered lesser evils advance past her in the line of succession to upper level demondom. Determined and crafty, Katya consolidated her abilities until she was ready to initiate her own plans and become a powerful and unpredictable rogue player in the underworld. I love that. Great background.
She played it. She was under there the whole time, laying in wait.
She calls for her henchman, Lucius, who produces Darcy at knife point. So a lot of stuff happened in this scene. First of all, when Phoebe went flying to the wall from Hope, Piper could give two shits. Do you see what they did? They put the camera on Piper, and she's literally not reactive at all that this woman just flew against the wall. And then
she's like, Phoebe, yeah, you okay?
Yeah, she didn't even get up off her seat. She's like, are you okay over there? I was like, what is happening?
She's checked. Like you said, she is checked out. She's already thinking of Wyatt. She's having to change diapers, cook, clean.
So funny. So Paige is in the elevator contacting Leo over the phone. And so Paige obviously hopes she doesn't have to help Trey. I love this. She's on the phone. She's like, oh God, I hope this isn't the guy I have to help. And he heard her and was like, bitch, please.
I'm glad though he had some respect. It was like, okay.
So he was kind of cute, but just not hot level.
Yeah. With the level that we're dealing with on Charmed. for this meter, you gotta go with the top of the top, right?
Yeah.
That sounds terrible.
The little girl also in the scene has an asthma attack, so we have to remember that before we go on. So I gotta give it to Hope in this scene, even though Darcy was at knife point at this, you know, with Katya, and that wasn't really the original plans. Katya actually was sharing some heavy as good points. She was so persuasive as to why she should open the box and release Pandora. And he's like, these white women don't know what the hell they're talking about. They frightened you. They're making you do something you don't want to do. Release the responsibility. You don't have to be a part of this magical stuff. Just let it all go. And then you can go back to your life, right? Now, before she brought Darcy out, Hope was like, no, I am not going to open this box. Yeah. And she doesn't know much about magic. Everything was given to her within hours, and she felt, she knew that this was not the right thing to do. And I freaking love that. I just love how that played out. And Katya was actually super nice. She was so caring to her needs, and the smile, she felt very comforting, in my opinion. I'm not saying that I would listen to her, but I was just like, she wasn't evil the whole time. She seemed like a really cool woman.
Right. She didn't do that cliche of, that's why she's cool too. Even when she's trying, like the actor doing like this, I'm saying this in a tone that makes you know that I'm not really meaning this. She did it in a natural way. Like she was really saying these.
Should we be changing our MVP to Katya right now? Because we can't stop talking about her.
She definitely, maybe actually, I know. My God.
She's good. We also, in this scene that wasn't written in the synopsis, we see that Piper and Phoebe are talking about the different parenting styles that her and Leo have with Wyatt and dealing with his magical terrible twos. So this prompted me to bring in a certain sister who we haven't heard from in a while. This is another What Would Prue Do? WWPD. My question for you... My question for you, Ryan, is what kind of aunt do you think that Prue would be to Wyatt? Now, we established last season that Prue probably wouldn't get along with Chris that well, especially seeing him as a grown man before a baby. But what about Wyatt? And just sort of the idea of, like, do you think that she would intervene more in parenting? Or would she just be that cool aunt, like Paige is trying to be? What kind of aunt do you see Prue? Would she take her seniority and put a lot of, like, this is how you should do things? Would she allow Piper to be her own mom? Would she, you know, beyond Leo about, you know, like, what do you think?
Such a good question, Rob. Random thoughts. I feel like it would begin after Wyatt was born that maybe Prue would have a storyline that she was overbearing and controlling Piper, and then they would do this whole thing that you're the mother, I'll trust you. And then I want to say by this point...
Well, Phoebe had that, but she just wanted to be around him all the time. Right. Do you think she would get it?
Phoebe would get the cute part that she did with that whole Wyatt thing still, but I think Prue would be the one that, like, Piper, are you sure, like, mothering Piper through Wyatt. But I think by this point, Prue would be like the grandmother that's already raised her kids and now will be very fiercely protective, but let Piper be the mother.
Okay. That's pretty cool.
Because she's got her kids, her sisters. She raised them already for, so she's letting them be.
I think that Wyatt would be spoiled by Prue. For some reason, I feel that there would be a really cool connection there. And that while Phoebe was definitely very loving and wants to be around him all the time, I think that Prue would seriously spoil the crap out of this kid.
Definitely.
And it would definitely inspire her to have her own as well. I think this would be a very pivotal moment to let Prue know that she could also be a mom. And I think she would really get this sort of, like, yearn for it. But I see her being a very spoiled auntie.
100%. 100%. Them saying, like,
Prue, does he really need another blanket?
Right.
He might get right. cold.
Oh, she's here. Ryan, she arrived. Okay. Been waiting. Okay.
I know she gives me anxiety having to wait for her every week, so I'm glad she got it over with.
You humans always make a mess of things, like your parents who gobbled up all the food of the spirits like pigs. They got what they deserved.
Ooh, my God, I love this quote. And you did it really good. I can't even begin to fathom what this is from.
So this quote comes from the witch in the 2001 anime feature Spirited Away. This is Yubaba, one of twin sisters. I believe she's the youngest of the two.
I've heard of Spirited Away, but I've never seen it.
Yeah, Spirited Away I've only seen once, and I liked it for what it was, but it's not a movie that I really return to. But this witch definitely stood out. She has this grandmother-like look to her. She has this gigantic head. It's all wrinkly. She's got her head in the bow, looking very matron-like. But she is the owner of a bathhouse, and her powers range from transformation to sensing. She also has telekinesis, pyrokinesis. She can also fly, and she can manipulate memories, names, and things like that. So she's got a lot of power behind her, and she's also old, so she's seasoned. She's been around for a while. I do remember this witch sticking out when I watched the movie, and I'm surprised we have not done her yet. So this is Yubaba the Witch from Spirited Away.
Love that you're thrown in the anime, and I love a seasoned witch, as you said, like a pipe.
Yeah.
One that's been through it.
Yeah, this Japanese anime actually is featured in the Academy Museum of Motion Picture that we just got this year. Not this year, 2021, but they have a whole Basically, entire floor yeah. on movies like Spirited Away and other from the director Miyazaki. And she's really cool looking. I really like her in this movie, so had to bring her on.
So Rob, Piper's quote that Leo is a long story. Love that, because ain't that the truth? There's no summing him up.
You can't at all.
Going just to mention Darcy, what this poor Darcy must be thinking is going on. I mean, that goes through any innocence, but then for some reason I was watching this and she got pulled out with the knife and I said, oh my God. And then she gets pulled in the cave. Oh, Darcy.
Yeah, she went through it.
So elevators and horror movies, Rob, I always think of Resident Evil and that Devil movie.
Devil.
A few years ago.
Definitely Devil. That's why I thought one of them was a white lighter, because I envisioned the plot of Devil being played out.
Yes, that's exactly. One of the person in this thing is a devil, exactly. One's going to be an angel. This happens to me. Like, I always right away guess the whole guardian is not her thing early on, but this one always throws me up until the end that I realize, oh, it's Paige. I kind of, after everything's going to crap and she's kind of like directing everybody, but up until that I'm like, is it the husband maybe? Because he's really like, he, you know, I was like, is the wife gonna come over now? She's gonna stop complaining, and she's after the baby. Hush, little baby, don't say a word. But and then Rob, when what was that gentleman's name?
Trey
hits the ceiling, not for anything. I know you don't want to hurt yourself or break the set, but he looked like he was hitting a stuffed animal when he was trying to break open the elevator. It was not any force put behind those punches. It was like him going, no, so it made me laugh. So one of the men in the elevator, here we go, tries to escape through the roof. He receives an electric shock and his heart stops. Holy crap.
Yeah, he was thrown so hard from that electric shock. That was a very more realistic like way of shocking someone, because that was a great scene.
It actually was done very well.
It looked pretty bad. Pretty bad the way he got shocked.
The girl's asthma attack worsens. Paige asks the other man to help give CPR while the woman sings to the girl to calm her down and ease her breathing. Now, I'm sorry. I know that this is a world, and this is back in the day, like, and we know certain songs like this. But there's no way that this girl knows all these lines to this. And if that, I don't even, no one knows, especially at her age at that point. But anyway, I'll believe that she knows this song too, to ease her breathing. And the man is revived, and then the elevator door opens. Hope on Cartier's order. Open. Cartier! Now she's Cartier Brown. Cartier.
Dolores Van Cartier?
Yeah, my god. Paige is a badass. After it finally hits her and she's like, well, no one else here is doing anything, I like that she's like, this, CPR, sing to her asthma. It took her a minute, but then Paige kicks in, and that's why she was an MVP. But now, yeah, I think maybe.
Well, I mean, it's second nature to her. I mean, this is literally just like riding a bicycle. And the moment that she is put in a position to help others, this is when she takes charge. And all of a sudden, it also inspires the wife to stop bickering at her husband and like encourage him or be supportive or, you know, not turn everything into an argument. And I hate to put everything on her, but this is how they were featured in the elevator. It's like,
yeah, it was bad. It was like,
we can talk about cat videos on YouTube and she would find a way to make it his fault. And
yeah,
but she finally looked at him and was like, you can do this. And they,
all it took is he had to do some CPR on a man. Maybe they need to bring a man into their bedroom. She's like, "Lay, I just want to see you lay this man lay down and you breathe into him, honey."
Okay. There will never be another. There's no reason to
think twice.
Did you watch that video I sent you?
No, you mean the game show one?
No, I sent you one today with H, who was you got to watch this video. It's
was it on my private? I need to go on the regular Instagram. I haven't checked my normal Instagram today.
It's so good.
As well be renamed Radical.
It was behind the scenes of them filming that video, and it was just watching him just be his fierceness. It was so good, but you just got to watch to the ending. So Katya tries to kill Hope, but she deflects the sigh with an energy blast. Piper and Phoebe enter her lair through a spell. Piper blows up Lucius, and the two pursue Katya. Katya knocks out Darcy and assumes her form. Back at the manor, Darcy tries to persuade Hope to leave. In time, the sisters become suspicious, and Paige pulls Hope aside on the pretext of showing her how to contact the sisters. After a moment, Hope comes downstairs, and Darcy morphs into Katya, again with the gloating, and transport Hope into her lair. Once there, Hope is revealed to be Paige in disguise, and Paige throws a potion and kills Katya. She gives the box to Darcy and orbs her to the manor, and Hope opens the box and gathers all the sorrows back. Great, great, great scene. I love this. But could you have just kept your cool knowing that Katya was playing Darcy this whole time? Do you see how Phoebe was just like, go ahead. Go back. Mm. It's okay. She doesn't want to be here. When you figure out that it is Katya there, how do you play it cool, you know, and just go on about it and just go on with this plan?
Right.
Without, you know, Katya getting wind of, though they know what's going on. I mean, but even
the whole thing with go downstairs, I'm surprised she wasn't like,
I know. And then Piper just looked at her like, girl, what are you doing? What is that? Like, I don't know what's going on, but I don't know. It's just funny how they were able to keep their cool, and they were very smooth about, you know, how they, you know, played a trick on her. But yeah, again, my play of the week, Paige during this scene, all this orbing and everything all in one scene was just so freaking cool. Could you be the keeper of Pandora's box, knowing what you know and what Hope had to do?
I mean, if I didn't have to open it, like if I could just put it in a closet and then
but
pray
this
that
is,
no demons come up.
But that's
like,
the
okay.
thing. This is you like not using your powers for bad and also being on the lookout for people who could be after it. Like, could you be a keeper of the box?
Honestly, I feel like all these keepers die and I don't want to. So I'd rather be a charmed one. So no, I don't think I could be a keeper, Rob, because it seems like that is their legacy, to basically you're there, you're a placeholder until the next keeper of the fairy tales or the blah 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 comes along. So I mean, I guess if it's destined, but no, please. What about you?
No, I couldn't do it. I mean, I would want to help in some way magically, but not the keeper of the box.
You want to scry? We'll scry for them. How about that? We'll do that. How about this? Here we go. That's good. Got two notes on Darcy. First off, damn, they
right.
threw Darcy.
Right.
She threw
right.
her like a cartoon.
Right. Oh my God. This woman,
holy
no broken
crap.
Bones. They don't have to go to the hospital, nothing. She just gets up and starts crying. I'd have been hurt.
She just gets up and starts crying.
I mean, they act like these cave walls are not sharp and a rock. And
yeah,
like,
always.
No, you're not hitting a wall. You're hitting rock with edges and ridges. Like, how in the hell are they just getting up and just shedding tears?
Amen.
Like, I'd be hurt.
Oh my God. Heads busted open, scrapes. Forget about it. But the real Darcy at the end, I love how she delivers this line. It was Hope at the bottom of the box. Hope.
Oh
love
my
it.
God.
I love it. And I love that she, that these women, these young women are so, you know what, they're like, we've watched enough WB ourselves. Stuff happens like this, and we're just going to accept it, and we're going to keep our cool, like, the thing you forgot, it was Hope. Hope at the bottom. I love it. Cheesy, but cute. So Sandra tells Paige that the future white lighter she was going to save, it was you, Paige. It was you. It was herself, and suggests that perhaps being a white lighter is the real life separate from magic that Paige was looking for. All right, Rob, I like the way that Sandra delivered that line and the whole, it was you. It was another one of those, like, you had, like, is it Darcy? Is it Paige? Is it this one? Is it Katya? Is it? It was a lot of questions. Who's the white lighter? It was a lot of cool a little guesses in this episode. But that, and we got baby Chris at the end with those chubby cheeks. I always love it. It's this little chubby Chris that we get.
I really have to give it to Sandra today. She won big points, especially for the elders. She won big points today. I just was thrown again with another twist of, oh, it was Paige all along. She's the future white lighter. And I, again, honestly thought it was Trey. But Sandra came through, and she didn't seem condescending. And she was also taking a lot of digs and not taking it personal. Do you remember what Paige said to her? Like, I don't want to be you people. And I was just like, oh, my God, I would have, like, but she took it and just kept going. And I don't know, like, Sandra just won big points for the elders today.
Sandra's like, I need to do something to win the moba after we race Leo's mind and sent him on the road.
I mean, but Piper also letting Wyatt use his powers in a very playful way, I thought was very cute. It was a really nice wrap-up, and it also solidified them as a magical family versus a normal family, because these are the things that happen. And there was a lot of embrace with that, and the fact that Wyatt wasn't shy to actually do it, I thought was also really nice. So it was a nice little wrap-up.
It was cute. It was a cute family moment, too. Magical family moment, as you said.
So that concludes Little Box of Horrors, episode 18 of season 7. What a decent episode, and it gave us a really good villain that I will definitely remember.
Yeah.
For a long time after this, because I never once thought about this woman at all until this week.
No, it's so crazy. It's like this whole episode is like a blur until it's there, and I'm like, oh yeah, but... God, she is memorable. She was memorable. She should be up there. I wish she got a proper Book of Shadows page.
Right? All right. Next week on Charmed, Freaky Phoebe. I don't remember this at all. What the hell is Freaky Phoebe?
Oh, my God. This is
Wait. This is the old witch who switches places with her because of the beauty. Okay. She was a riot. This will be fun exploring that woman again. She was crazy.
Fun episode too. Yes, I agree.
Okay. All right. Well, again, I don't remember lots of specifics, but it just clicked. I remember there was an old woman who sought out her beauty. So we'll definitely do another episode next week to recap Freaky Phoebe. And thank you, everyone, for listening to our latest episode. We are almost done with season 7. This is so crazy, crazy. We'll be doing episode 19 next week. Everyone have a wonderful rest of your Sunday or whichever day you are listening to this. And again, we appreciate you coming back each week. Charmies, be safe out there. Enjoy 2022. And we will be back.
Bye, Charmies.
Into you.
You think I'm hot?
And she's feeling it. Muy caliente.
This is gonna be fun.
Fresh charm. Freaky Phoebe on the WB's Big Sunday.
Charmy confessions.
So Ryan gave me a Christmas present, and he informed me that it was Charmed related. And I just got it during this recording. And so I'm opening it up right now. I will post a picture on the social medias. But I'm looking at it right now. This is my very first look. Oh my God, this is so cute. And it's just my brand because it has the names ampersand. I love it. So it says, and I love that Piper is listed first.
Yes.
I know, that's probably like a typo for you. So this is not an official Charmed t-shirt, is it? It's a fan made it.
Yeah, it has to be because I think they would, maybe not, but I think it is fan made. I think it is fan made.
So it says Piper Ampersand, Prue Ampersand, Phoebe Ampersand, Paige Ampersand with the triquetra, and it says Sisterhood Never Dies. That's awesome. Thank you. I would totally wear this.
I'm so happy. I wanted Rob to have a shirt and Charmies. It's matching. So I'm going to try to edit us together in a photo with these two shirts on for something. But
is your shirt the same?
It's the same, but I got a different color.
Oh, okay. Okay, awesome. No, I love it. Thank you so much for that. I appreciate it. I will wear it all the time.
We're going to be twins of the sisterhood, the traveling pants. Well, Rob, it seems this week we have two Charmy confessions. One from Twitter comes from Jordan Vaughn, and she says, question, we never hear on the show what a dark lighter is per se. They are the opposite of a white lighter, which is an angel, so wouldn't they be demons?
What do you think about that question? Or not about it, but how would you answer it? Like, have you thought about this? Or do you think that they have said exactly who they are or what they are?
You know what I took them as, and I don't know if this was said, but I see them as the polar, I guess, which would make a demon, but the polar opposite of someone good. But almost like these people are picked up like a white lighter in life, that this person led a life of, I don't know, you know, darkness maybe, and they're more inclined to be evil. So I'm seeing it as that, as opposed to, you know, a demon form. So I'm thinking these are people that were miserable, evil people in life, and they are recruited in the afterlife to become dark lighters. But Rob, he replied with saying, yeah, I don't believe they specifically say what type of demon they are, but a type of magical being. They are not fallen angels. How I see them is they are just beings to balance out good and evil with white lighters. And honestly, I think that's why they were created. But Jordan does have a great question of like the mythos of it. We never saw someone turn into a white light, a dark lighter. So yeah.
Yeah. That was a nice question. I like that. So thank you for submitting that if you're listening. And I have one from Patreon, one of our Charmies in the Attic. So this is from Samantha. Now, she's going all the way back to 70-year witch, and she calls me out for my mispronunciation of Cole's real name. So she writes, Rob, I love you, but my God, it's not McMahon. It's Irish. It's Julian McMahon. And I'm only saying it this way because she spells it MacMarrn. So I wish Samantha had left a voicemail on how to actually pronounce it, because I'm still not hearing it and why is it spelled that way. But that's just me being not, you know, uneducated. But anyways, every time you say it, I get a chuckle is what she says. But and I know that I was saying it wrong. I basically was just saying it the way that I spelled it. Nobody's corrected me until now, so I just went with it.
Because who am I to correct anyone when I can't even say Cattier? So, yeah. But I would love, maybe Samantha can send in a voicemail. Maybe we can hear it. We can hear it.
But she also comments on something that you had said, and this is referring to why Phoebe and Cole didn't have scenes together. So she says, also, Ryan, I don't think there was any beef between Julian and Alyssa, and that is why that they don't have any scenes together in the episode. Brad Kern said that all three of them discussed it, and they felt that the Cole-Phoebe storyline had been completed, and there wasn't really anything else to tell at this point in the series. So she's quoting the creator, or not creator, but, you know, one of the showrunners.
Yeah, the showrunner.
Yeah.
You know, it was one of those things that I had never heard of up until this last year, though. But I mean, that makes sense. So it could be either way. We'll never know the right thing. But for some reason, this source that came out was like, it's like these stories now, like we didn't know about the Rose and the Alyssa situation. Like, it's like these things are slowly being revealed. So I'm hoping that's not the case, but I had read something, and I think I sent it to Rob too, that was what the situation had been, is supposedly. But
well, you know what's funny, when the idea of a Netflix series or miniseries was coming up, you know, Julian literally was like, I will do it 100%. But I don't know how he would be able to be involved if he didn't have scenes with Phoebe. So like, if he felt the story was tied up at the time, yes, there's probably no reason, but I wonder if there would be reason to interact with each other now, you know? So who knows what we could have gotten. But thank you, Samantha, for that comment and for, you know, listening to that episode.
Thank you.
If anybody has a confession on the episode that we just recapped, anyone in any episodes in the past, the podcast, or anything you'd like to share, feel free to leave us a voicemail on Anchor FM. You can record in 1-minute increments, but leave as many as you need and we'll play it on the show. But feel free to tweet at us at BWTH Podcast or the Instagram page, Brunch with the Hollowells, all one word. You can DM us or leave comments in any of the posts, and we'll do our best to read them on the show.